I want to consider today in Acts chapter 4, verse 13, the thought that when Peter and John stood before the Council of Israel here, that these men perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, that they marveled and they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. And I want us to consider the thought today that Christ's people are to be imitators of him. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:1, he gave the command that we were to be followers of him, even as he followed Christ. Divine grace ought to make a change in a person. And it ought to make some kind of change visibly in a short period of time in their life. Our text today in Acts spoke of Peter and John. And we see the people marveling at them because they noticed something about them that was different. They noticed something perhaps about Peter that had changed. Peter had recently been following his master from afar off. He was following him, and with oaths and curses, he denied that he even knew Jesus. And we find him here in Acts standing together with John. And they're standing side by side, boldly declaring that there is salvation in no other name save that of Jesus Christ. These men together were boldly preaching the resurrection from the dead through the sacrifice of their dying Lord. The scribes and Pharisees very quickly perceived what gave these men their boldness. Rightly did they guess that it rested not upon their education or their talents. Neither of these disciples, as far as we know, had had an official education. They were fishermen. Their trade was that they caught fish. Their education, we would assume, was a knowledge of the sea. They had not sat under the religious leaders of Israel, under the learned men of theology. They are not recorded to have belonged to one of the great prophet schools in the land of Israel. But when these men saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they had not had a formal education. They perceived they were ignorant men, and ignorant is the word idiotai in Greek, which means private. So they were not men who stood in any official capacity of society. They were men of low rank and station when it came to the culture of Israel. And so these religious leaders were shocked when we could say that these unlearned nobodies stood before them and they spoke with such boldness and preached concerning the resurrection of the dead. And the only conclusion then that these religious leaders could come to were that these men had spent time with Jesus. Their talk immediately linked them to the identity of Christ. I wonder if such a condemnation from our enemies could be said of us today as we consider this thought. Are our lives living epistles of God that could be known and read of all men? When men take knowledge of us, do they perceive that we have been with Jesus? And so it is concerning this that I want to speak of today, a desire to stir up our remembrance of who we are called to be as Christians, who we are told to imitate. And I want to encourage us then that we are to imitate Jesus Christ, who is our heavenly pattern, and that all men may perceive that we are disciples of Jesus Christ. For it is in fact the very word, the meaning of the very word Christian, that is signified by such a thought, that a Christian is a person who is a follower of Jesus Christ, and thus the world ought to see that we have spent time with Jesus. And so as we pray and ask the Lord to bless the reading of this word today, I want to just preface this message that the points of this message today are from a sermon of Charles Spurgeon. He had a very good outline, I believe, for this passage. I want us to consider first who a Christian, what a Christian should be. Secondly, when we ought to be Christians. Why we ought to behave like a Christian. And finally, how we may learn to behave like a Christian. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for these words of Scripture that we can study this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the thoughts that we have and for what the Word teaches us. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to glorify Christ in all things, that he would be lifted up with the preaching of the Word today. I pray, Lord, that you would just help us, Lord, to learn to be transformed into his image, Lord, that we would be imitators of him, and that our lives, Lord, would be a living and open testimony before all this world of our Savior, Lord, whom you have given to us. Pray, Lord, that you would just bless us this day as we study your word. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I want us, first of all, this morning to consider what a Christian ought to be. We live in a world that the idea of who a Christian is very blurred. Many Christians, so-called today, do not know how to be a Christian. They don't know what a Christian is beyond perhaps someone who is not a Muslim or not Buddhist or Hindu or belonging to another religion of the world. But as we see in the Scriptures, that a Christian ought to be a likeness of Jesus Christ. And we ought to be a striking likeness of Jesus Christ. Perhaps we have read books about Christ that are beautifully and eloquently written. There are many books written on the life of Christ. We have read of Christ in his word. And men ought to also be able to read Christ in the lives of his people. The life of Jesus ought to be written out in the words and actions of all of his followers. It is not enough for us to know what we ought to be, but in practice we must actually be what we are supposed to be from what we learn in the Word of God. We are to be pictures of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are to have such a likeness of him that if the world were to look for an image of Jesus Christ, they would look at a picture of us. When at once they behold us, they ought to exclaim that he has been with Jesus, that he has been taught by Jesus. As they could say of Peter and John here in our passage today, they ought to be able to perceive that we are like Jesus and that our very life and everyday actions are things that would comprise of what Jesus would do if he were still here on the earth. And so Christians find that they must hold themselves bound to keep God's precepts. It is not because there is a law that is binding upon us, but because of the gospel that is given to us. And such a gospel would compel us and constrain us then to follow the commandments of God. We believe that having been purchased by Jesus Christ, that we are his, that we are bound to keep his commandments. We are even more so compelled, perhaps, than they who were under law in times past. For we find ourselves great debtors to God. It is not by force, not by the whip, not through a legal bondage. We find ourselves debtors to God out of a pure love and a gratitude for what he has done for us. And we must lay ourselves out before God. We must seek to be Israelites indeed, as was said of Nathanael, in whom there is found no guile. In no way today, though, I want to preface this message that I preach a message of works, for it is by grace we are saved and not by ourselves. But we must equally testify that where the grace of God is, there must be fitting deeds to that grace exemplified. There must be fruit shown in the lives of his people. We are ever expected to be employed by good works. And we must possess then every quality and feature of our Lord that we are commanded to picture. We ought to possess such a striking likeness to our Lord that people would look at us and perceive that we have been with Jesus. There are many things that I believe we will never be like Christ in many ways. As sinful beings, we can never perfectly exhibit all of the things in life, perhaps, that Christ was able to exhibit. We could never go through this life with the sinless perfection that Christ was able to have in all things. Such perfection as sinful beings is beyond our reach. But we ought never to diminish our ardor as we seek it. And though the Christian may feel that he could mount the heights of excellence in this life, we ought still to also perceive that never on this earth can we be the exact image of our Lord. And yet such a thought is ever held before us in the Scriptures. The true Christian will measure his own deficiencies daily by the distance that he sees between himself and Christ. He ought to forget all that he has ever attained in the past as we press forward, ever going still upwards, always desiring and being conformed more and more to the image of Jesus Christ as we find him in the Word of God. We see in the example today that we have of Peter and John, many things that these scribes and these Pharisees and these religious leaders saw that told them they had been with Christ. We see, first of all, that these religious leaders saw the boldness of Peter and John, and it was out of such boldness as they stood before them and spoke with such authority that they perceived that these men had been with Jesus. Jesus Christ stood before men as a prophet of the people. He had no fear to speak out boldly and freely what he thought they ought to know. He did not shrivel up and stoop before men, even when he was preaching hard things that were hard to understand and to be accepted. We find that Jesus, without trembling, stood up and spoke to crowds. He spoke to individuals. He stood before some of the most powerful governments of the world that there ever was in his time. And every time he spoke, it was with boldness. When Christ came to minister in his own town, he knew that a prophet had no honor in his own country. We find recorded in Luke chapter 4 a scene where he was given a sacred text that was placed in his hand. Without tremor, he unrolled it. For his message, he took from a text that would definitely not earn him fame among the people. And we find that he preached on a doctrine that is hated by even many in our world today. Christ expounded the doctrine of election. He opened the Scriptures. He told of the prophet Elias or Elijah. We find written in Luke 4, 25, that he began to tell how God saveth whom he pleases, and he rescues whom he chooses. We see that as he boldly preached that text, that the religious leaders had rushed upon him. They were gnashing their teeth, and they dragged him out, and they would have thrown him off of a mountain. But Christ, in his boldness, as he feared them not, exercised some power and simply walked away from them. He went right back on to preaching almost immediately. So we find here with Peter and John that even after they have been arrested and they were commanded not to preach again in the name of Jesus Christ, that they still told these leaders that they would obey God rather than men. Christ stood boldly before scribes and Pharisees. He declared woes unto them. He openly called them hypocrites and whited sepulchres. And he dealt out honest truth to all men as he spoke to them. He never trembled before them. He cared not for man's esteem. And may we learn from that we may imitate Christ as such, that we would speak the truth when necessary, that we would care not for the applause of men, that we would not blush and run from our religion. But may we live on ever before those who hiss at us and boldly proclaim the Savior who has been given for men, that we may preach the name of Christ. And may we be ever valiant before our God, that men may perceive by our speech and our boldness that we have been with Jesus Christ. We also find in the scriptures that we must amalgamate our boldness with the loveliness of Christ. Courage ought to be as brass, and love ought to be gold. We are to mix the two together in our speech and in our lives. We must remember to never be so bold that we forget Jesus' loving example also, that when a child came unto him, that he placed that child upon his knee and said to suffer the little children not to come unto me and forbid them not. When a widow who lost her only son is found weeping, we see Christ weeping at that bier, and with just a word he raises that child from the dead. We find in the scriptures Christ healing lepers, paralytics. We find him healing a man and forgiving sins who were long confined to beds. And we find Christ boldly speaking to them. And in love, we find him ministering to their needs. Christ did not live for himself, but he lived for others. We find his constant labors and his life were motivated by love. To crown all his other works upon this life, we find the mighty sacrifice of his own life that he gave upon the cross, as he secured the life of his people and substituted him as a ransom for us that we might be saved. May we learn from such an example then that we may be loving to others also. We are told in the scriptures to say not to someone be warmed or be filled, and yet provide no food or clothing or warmth for them. Kindness is to be a great virtue of the Christian. May they know that we are Christians by our love for others. May we ever speak kindly. May we act kindly. May we do kindly, that all men may say of us that we have been with Jesus. We find another great feature in the life of Christ in his sincere humility, and that we may imitate him as well. While we are not to cringe before men or bow before them, because we are men who are freed by the truth, we still must walk through this world equal to all men. We are inferior to none. In fact, we ought to view ourselves as servants to all men as we endeavor to be like Christ. We find Jesus sitting and washing his disciples' feet, living among the poor, eating with sinners, sitting and fellowshipping with the despised of the earth. Christ did not stoop to do anything unless it was that he may serve others. Are we content then to say that though my name be written in the most obscure part of the book of life, that it is enough for me? Do we imitate Christ in his example of humility in this life? Do we imitate Christ in his holiness? Do we let time go by wasted? Are we devout, fervent in prayer, patient, submissive to the Father's will? Do we find ourselves forgiving to others? Do we heap coals of fire upon the heads of our enemies by our kindness? Do we give good for evil? Such a list could go on for how we are to imitate Christ by the example that he has left for us as Christians. In all of our ways, though, as men look at us, do they say of us that we have been with Jesus? Then we can also consider when we are to be like Jesus. There seems to be an idea in this world that men are to be very religious on Sunday, just one day of the week. There's a popular country song, and I'm sure many others could be used as examples, that speak of playing five-card poker on Saturday night and then church on Sunday morning. Does it not matter what men are on Saturday or Monday as we look at the life of a Christian? How many pious preachers even do we see on our Sabbath day who are very impious the rest of the week? How many people come to the house of the Lord on Sunday morning? They might possess a solemn countenance Sunday morning as they join in song and profess to pray, and yet have no part or lot in the matter. And we find them still in the gall of bitterness and in the bonds of iniquity. So when ought a Christian to be like Jesus Christ? Is there ever a time when a warrior is in a battle that he unbuckles his armor and he would become as other men while a war rages on about him? So we see at all times and in every place, a Christian must be what he professes to be. We are to imitate him in public. We are to imitate him in the privacy of our own lives. Many of us work before men every day. We are being watched. Our words are being heard. Our lives are examined and picked to pieces. And do men see us as having been with Jesus? Paul tells us that it is no longer I who lives, but Christ in me. Do they see Christ when they see us? So we must live the life of Christ in public. We must live as Christ even in the church. In the church even we see that we must live like Christ. Diotrephes loved to have the preeminence among his fellow members in the church. Do our fellow church members see in us and say of us that we have spent time with Jesus? We must take care to be like Christ in our own homes. Is our household better off for our profession of Christ? And does our household seek Christ and see Christ in us, even behind the closed doors of the public? It is at home that men are best seen and their character is best seen. And when no eye seeth us except for the eye of God, and when darkness covers us, even there we're to imitate Jesus Christ. Jesus' inner life showed such things that after laboriously preaching all day, that he stole away under the cover of darkness to cry for help from his God. That was Jesus' inner private life. And so may we take care of our secret lives that we will not be ashamed when we are read at that great and final day. For our inner lives are written in the book of God, and the scripture tells us that even they will be open before all. And so may we strive to be like Jesus every day, at all times, and in all places. Why must we imitate Christ? Such an answer should come very naturally and easily to the born-again Christian. We ought to be like Christ for our own sakes. If we are to be honest with ourselves, unless we desire to be hypocrites, we ought to desire that we would not be found liars before God and before men. We must imitate Christ for our health's sake. If we wish to be kept from sin and preserved by grace from going astray, then we are to imitate the example of Christ that is given to us. Nothing will be able to assist us more in this life. Nothing will prosper us more in our rapid walk to heaven. When we follow in the footsteps of Christ, we find that we are the most happy. And we will be known as we walk in the footsteps of Christ to be the sons of God when people view our walk and our path. We ought to imitate Christ for his religion's sake. None of her Christianity more than those who profess to be its followers. The very name Christian signifies that we follow Christ. But who do we find have found and made such wounds to the name of Christ in this life? Do we not find that professing Christians who have not done as they ought do more to injure Christ's name than the laughing infidel that would stand before us? Is the name of our Redeemer precious to us as believers? Would we see the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord? Do we wish to see the proud and humble abased? Do we long for the souls of perishing sinners that are before us? Are we desirous to win them to Christ and save their souls from everlasting burning fire? Is it our desire that Christ should see the travail of his soul and that he would be satisfied? We must then find that we must be consistent in our testimony of the religion which we profess to follow. We must walk before God, even here in the land of the living. We are to behave as elect people ought to. We must recollect what manner of people we ought to be in all holiness and godliness. We must in our lives let men see something of Christ in us. If we do not as we ought, then they will only say that these religious people are no better than others. Perhaps they may say, "You are no better than I," if they see an inconsistent testimony out of our lives. Above all other reasons, though, we find that we ought to imitate Christ for his own sake. We imitate Christ for his honor and his glory. May we endeavor to be like him. For how would we desire our Lord to behold us when he looks upon us? Do we desire to stand before him naked and ashamed? Do we desire to injure him who never injured us? Jesus said that if we love him, we would keep his commandments. And may we then be like Christ, because our gratitude to him would demand our obedience. And so shall the world know that we have been with Jesus. And then lastly this morning, how may we imitate Christ? In our modern times, Christians do not know how to be Christians. We find that we must be taught how to be a Christian. We must first know Christ as our Redeemer before we can follow him as our exemplar. Many believe our Lord to be a holy and excellent man who is much to be admired, but they find it impossible to imitate him because they were never bathed in the fountain of blood that would flow from his veins. So I would say it is not possible for us to imitate Christ until he gives us his Spirit, which would teach us. Until we have been clothed in his righteousness, all we possess is filthy rags. Even once we are clothed by him, we must study him in his word. We must read this poor Bible that has become almost an obsolete book to many Christians. For it is in that book that we behold the face of Christ. It is in his word that we study him and we learn to imitate him. In the scriptures, we find how to reform our lives. And we find that we must seek more of the Spirit of God and his growth in our lives each and every day. For it is the Spirit of God that teaches us and leads us in the way to Christ's likeness. All of our attempts are vain until we seek out his Spirit, which has been given to us to help us in this life. The Spirit of God will fashion us into the image of our Savior. By the power of the Spirit, we will enter into glory. To be like Christ is to enter heaven. To be unlike Christ will lead us to hell. If we have sinned with Adam, then we lie with the spiritually dead forever until we are raised in Christ to a newness of life. And as we look at our lives today and the world around us, we must remember the scripture that says, "Be not deceived, for God is not mocked. For whatever a man soweth, he will also reap." And if we are like Christ, then we will find that we can be assured that we are in Christ. We can be assured that we will be found with Christ. But if we are unlike him, then we will find that we have no portion in his inheritance. May all men then behold us as they beheld Peter and John and perceive that we have been with Jesus. And to him may we give all the honor and glory in our lives. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for these words from your scripture today. Just pray, Lord, that you would help us to learn from the word, that we would study Christ, Lord, in all of the scriptures, Lord, that we would seek him out even, Lord, upon every word and every page of this book, Lord. We know that this book is what teaches us of him. We pray, Lord, that we would do our due diligence in studying it. We may learn, Lord, how to be followers of Christ. Pray that you would just help us, Lord, in this endeavor of our lives and this calling that you have given to us. We pray, Lord, that we would be a peculiar people to this world around us, that they would see that we are a set-apart people, Lord, and that we are different from them, and that they would know us to be Christians, Lord, by our words and our actions. Pray that you would help us, Lord, to be that salt in this world, that we would be the light in that city that is set upon a hill, that we would preach Christ, Lord, through our words and our lives each and every day to all that we would come in contact with. Pray that you would now bless us the rest of this day and the rest of this week. Pray these things in Christ's name.